Shalom to all. Today's office called Daf Pei Tes. We're talking about the 12th line with the words Amar Vaba. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mim Sarabas Rebecca Moshe Hernish Amar Shada Haven Olios. Now, just prior, we had mentioned how Avram Avinu refused to take anything from the spoils of war from Mel Sadoim. So now the Gemara tells us something connected to that. Amar Vaba Rabba says Kasha Gezel Anechel, something that was stolen, which was already eaten, is very harsh. It's challenging. It's difficult. You can't pay it back. Or do we see this? Shafil Tzadikim Gemurim and Nuchem Achziroi. Even great Tzadikim and Tzadikim Gemurim are not able to return it. Shemar the pasuk says this was Avram's response to Mel Sadoim when he said, "Why don't you take the spoils?" Avram said, "No, Bil Adai," which is loosely translated as "Far be it from me." Rakasher Achla Na'arim, only that which the Na'arim ate, what they consumed. In other words, Avram said, "I'm not taking anything from you." However, whatever the Na'arim, the lads, the youth that helped me win the war, whatever they had already taken, that I'm so to speak taking for myself. I'm not going to return it. We see that once something's already consumed, it's very difficult to pay it back or give it back. Another special thing we learn from Avram: Amar B'Yechon Mishum B'Lazer B'Shemin. The Kol Makom Shatamoytsu Dvar Shav B'Lazer B'Noy Shav B'Yesa Glili B'Hagada. Anytime you find the words of B'Lazer, the son of B'Yesa Glili, in Hagada, that's what we call Agada. I say as the says, you should make your ears like a funnel, meaning you should be careful to listen. What's the pasuk tells? Let me rubchem call amim chashak Hashem bochem gaimer. It's not because you're more numerous than all the nations that Hashem desired you and chose you. As she says the pasuk, you're really the smallest of the nations. Now what's the drasha? Hashem is telling the yidden chashkani bochem. I desire you. Why is that? Shafil b'shashani mashpil chem gedula. Even at the time that I give you greatness, you minimize yourself and make yourself small in front of me. And therefore the words in the pasuk let me rubchem are not understood in a literal sense. Not because you're more numerous, like we originally translated. Rather, you are not marbig yourselves. Namely, you don't glorify and aggrandize yourselves. Rather, you minimize yourselves, acting with anava, humility. And that's why, chashak Hashem b'chem v'yivchar b'chem, as Bas continues, ki atem ha-me'at, because you make yourselves the smallest. And where do you see this? Nosatik du'la Avram, I give greatness to Avram. I'm going to find out what he say in front of me. V'noichi ofer v'efer, I'm ashes and dirt. And l'mesh v'aron, I give greatness to Moshe and Aaron. Amar, it's really Amru, they said, v'nachnu mo, what are we? El David, I gave greatness to David. Amar, what did he say? V'noichi talas v'layish, I'm a worm, I'm not a man. The non-Jews are not like that. I give greatness to Nimrod, says Hashem. Amar, what did he say? Let's go build a city. This is Migdal Bavel. This caused rebellion against Hashem. And Lepar gave greatness to Paroi. Amar, what did he say? Mi Hashem, who's Hashem that I should listen to him? And Lesancherev, I gave greatness to Sancherev. Amar, what did he say? Mi b'chal ha'er rotzes v'goymer, who among the gods saved their lands for me? And Sancherev continued saying that Hashem is going to save Yerushalayim from me. And Luchanetzar gave greatness to Luchanetzar. Amar, what did he say? El Abam say of, I will ascend over the tops of clouds. And Baza continues, Adam el Elyon, I'm going to liken myself to the Most High. And Lechir Melech Tzar, greatness was given to Chirim, the king of Tzar, after the destruction of the base of Mikdash. Amar, what did he say? Moshe v'lekim yashavti, I occupy the seat of Hashem, believe Yamim, in the heart of seas. When he became very powerful, he built himself a seven-layered platform of copper and sat on it and said this. And so we see that when greatness is given to the non-Jews, it just goes to their head and they try to make themselves even bigger and greater and perhaps even rival Hashem, whereas the Yidden are the opposite. And Rav, he tells us, Gadol Shenar v'Moshe v'Aaron Yosef Masha v'Avram, what was said by Moshe and Aaron is greater than that was said by Avram. D'ilu b'Avram k'sev anochi ofer v'efer. Avram said, I'm ashes and earth. So he's saying that he's at least something. V'ilu Moshe v'Aaron k'sev, Moshe and Aaron says, v'nachnu ma, what are we? Meaning, we're nothing. And from Rav Yitim Rav Yechanan, eino ilu miskayim el b'shvil Moshe v'Aaron, the world's only miskayim because of Moshe and Aaron. K'sev ha'cha, it says over here, v'nachnu ma, u'ksev ha'asam, we have a pasuk over there that says, toila eretz al blima, that Hashem suspends the earth on blima, on nothingness, and blima is understood as blima, when a person says, I'm nothing, so that's what caused the world to continue. No, we Joshua on this pasuk, Amar b'ilu, eino ilu miskayim el b'shvil misha boilim es atzmai b'shas meriva, the world's only miskayim because somebody who closes his mouth, he's boilim es atzmai at a time of a fight. That means that when there's an argument, there's meriva, there's a fight, there's an altercation, a person doesn't say anything. And actually, in modern Hebrew, the word livlom means to break, bilamim, or breaks, as in the things that stop the car. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, toila eretz al bilima. Now, Rav Amar, he says, who's the world of miskayim on? Misha meisim atzmai k'misha enoi, a person who makes himself like he's not, meaning he makes himself like nothing. Shenemar, the pasuk says, umitachas zrois oilam, literally this means, and below are the world's arms. But the drasha is, one who is nidras tachas akol, he allows himself to be under everything. Such a person is the arms holding up the world. And our Yitzchak, he tells us, Maitachsev was pshat pasuk, ha'omnam elem, is there indeed silence? Tzedek tedaberun, should you speak tzedek? Mesharm tishbetu b'nei adam, should you judge people with fairness? Now that's a literal translation of the pasuk. What's a drasha? So the word ha'omnam in the beginning of the pasuk is understood as the word omnis, like a craft or a skill. And therefore he says, ma'um nasa shal adam ba'elam hazeh, what's the proper omnis, the proper craft or skill a person should take on in this world? Yasim atzmai ki'ilim, he should make himself like a mute, and he shouldn't talk, he should be very quiet and humble. Now Yachim might think, havadiver tairah, that this is even with tairah, that he shouldn't teach tairah or share tairah. That's why Tamalem, the pasuk continues saying, tzedek tedaberun, that you shall speak tzedek, and tzedek is referring to tairah. Now Yachim might think that yag is daitai, a person should become prideful because of this, he has a lot of tairah, so Tamalem, that's why the pasuk continues saying, meisharm tishbetu b'nei adam, and meisharm is like the word mishar, which is a plain, and that tells us that a person should be like a level piece of ground that's easy to walk on, meaning he should be humble. Now going back to Kisu Adam, Amar B'Zeirah V'Yitamu Rabar Yirmiyah, Mechasim B'Ofer Yirani Dachas, Now, Ir Nidachas is a city in which the majority of people serve the Avodah Zarah, so as a special din, everyone gets Sayef, and we have to burn everything in the city. So right now, the Havamina of what this is saying, the one's allowed to use the ashes of everything burnt from the Ir Nidachas, and that could be used for Kisui. Asking more of Amai, why would this be Mutter? Yisriya HaNohu, this is something that's Asur Banah, you're not going to benefit from it. That's because the Pasuk says, Lo Yidbak Biyadcha Mu'uma Menachirim, that the nothing, Mashma, even the ashes, are allowed to be benefited from. He explains, Lo Nitzcha, what's this Chedesh? El Afar Afra, only regards to its dirt. In other words, we're not using the ashes for Kisui Adam. We're using the dirt from the city itself. Why is that permitted? Because the pasuk says, "V'eskol shalo atik b'itzal toch rechayva," that you should take all of its shalo, which literally means its spoils, meaning take everything from the city, gather it into the rechayv, into the main area. V'sarafdin, you shall burn it. And what do we learn from here? Misha'in mechusar el kavitzu sreifa. The only thing that's also from Ir Nidachas, even after it's burnt, is something that the only thing that needs to be done to it is kavitzah. It just needs to be gathered and then burned. That's what the pasuk says: take bite, gather it, and then burn it. Yotzei says it excludes this. We're just talking about the dirt of the city itself. Shemechusar talisha kavitzah v'sreifa. It's missing another thing, it has to be uprooted. You have to dig it out of the ground, and only then you would have to gather it and burn it, so the dirt is allowed to be used. That's what the din is referring to. Whereas Rav Amar Rava says, no, we're even allowed to use the ashes of everything from Ir Nidachas. And why is that? That's because mitzvahs weren't given for benefit. In other words, the purpose of a mitzvah is because Hashem said, do the mitzvah, not that a person should derive benefit from it. Therefore, even if a person does have hana, it's not considered halachic hana. Therefore, the ashes of the Ir Nidachas are allowed to be used for kisui. Ravina was sitting and saying this over, and Ravina asked Ravina as follows. We know Shev Shalvayis Kachavim Lo Yiskabai. The shofar that was used for Avodah Zarah was not allowed to use that for Tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah. Now, my love, Im Taka Lo Yatza, doesn't that mean that if he used it, he's not Yotze? As we see, that we don't apply Mitzvah Slav Lahenis Netnu since it was used for Avodah Zarah. Even if you use a shofar for a mitzvah, you're not Yotze. So he pushes it away and says, Lo, that's not so. Im Taka Yatza. That if a person uses shofar for Avodah Zarah for Rosh Hashanah, but the Yevid, he is Yotze. Because again, Mitzvah Slav Lahenis Netnu. So he continued asking, but what about the following? Lo Shalvayis Kachavim Lo Yitol. It would say to be fair, so the lul of those used for Avodah Zarah, for example, is used to sweep in front of the Zara or something like that. One is not allowed to use it on Sukkis. Now, my love, Imnata Lo Yatza, does that tell us if a person uses it on Sukkis, he's not Yotze? So once again, we push that away. Lo, that's not so. Imnata Lo Yatza, the B'di'evet, if a person uses Lo Avodah Zarah, he is Yotze. But here's the final question. Vatan, you have a brass that states Beferush, Toka Lo Yatza, Natal Lo Yatza. Then if a person blew with the Shefer Avodah Zarah or used the Lo Avodah Zarah, he's not Yotze 100%. As we see, you can't apply Mitzvah Zalav Lahenis Nedu. So Ravashi answers, Hachi Hash, this is really so? Are you able to make a comparison between these two? Hasam, Peitas on Beis on top, Shirub Inon. Over there, we need a proper shear. When we're dealing with Avodah Zarah, it's considered like the shear is crushed. We'll explain this in just a moment. Whereas Halach over here, the more that it's crushed, the better it is for kisui. In other words, both by shofar and lulav, they require a particular shear. The minimum shear of a shofar is that the front and the back have to stick out of a person's hand when holding it, and lulav has to be four tefachim. Therefore, when these come from Avodah Zarah, and we know they have to be burned, the din is that anything that's supposed to be burned is like it's burned already. Therefore, it's as if we don't have a shofar or lulav at all. That's what Gemara just meant when it said, that it's as if the shear is crushed, it's like we don't have it at all. As opposed to Kisui Adam, which is the exact opposite. The more burned, crushed, and pulverized it is, the better. So therefore, we are allowed to use the ashes of Ir Nidachas, and once again, relying on Mitzvah Zalav Lahenis Netnu, it's perfectly fine. Hajjal Kisui Adam, Mazar finishing the sixth parak of the Masechta, just like we Zecha finished this parak together, we should Zecha finish the entire Masechta together, and of course, all of Shas together, without pausing, move right into the new parak, Ger Hanoshe. Now we know the famous struggle between Yaakov Avinu and the Sarshal Esav, which took place when Yaakov returned for his Pachim Ketanim, and the Pasuk tells us that the Malach dislocated Yaakov's thigh, and because of that, we don't eat the Geranosh of the animal. Now, it's important to read the specific language used by the Pasuk. It says as follows, Al-Kelo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael's Geranosh, therefore B'nei Yisrael are not allowed to eat the Geranosh, which literally means the Gid, the sinew, which was Nosh, it was displaced, and where is this Geranosh? Asher al Kaf HaYarech, which is on the spoon of the thigh, Adayim is until his day. Why not? Kinaga B'Kaf Yarech Yaakov Geranosh, that's because he struck the spoon of Yaakov's thigh on the Geranosh. And Rashi in this Mishnah explains that the flesh wraps around the top of the thigh, hence the name, the spoon of the thigh, and we're also going to learn soon that there are two main gidim of the thigh, the pinimi and the chitzon, the inner and the outer. So on that, the Gemara tells us, Giran Noshe, Noig Ba'arz B'chutzal Aretz, Isra B'Yin Giran Noshe, is both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzal Aretz, B'fnei Abayis, Shalom B'fnei Abayis, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, even without one, B'chun of Mukdashin, both with Chulin and with Kachim. Noig Behem B'chaya, is with both Behemoth and Chayos, B'yarech Shal Yemin or B'yarech Shal Smol, both the right and left thigh, V'inu Noig Ba'if, there's no Isra Giran Noshe with birds, M'nei She'in Lo Kaf, because it doesn't have a kaf. We're going to see later on that it does have a kaf, it's just not rounded, V'noig B'shlil, and it also applies to a shlil, to a fetus that comes from an animal. For example, like we've had earlier in the Masechta, Ben Pakua, the mother's shechted, we open it up, we find an animal inside, its Geranosha is also problematic. Whereas Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, Inunag B'shlil, it does not apply to the shlil. And also, V'chel B'mutter, the chelev, the usually forbidden fats of a shlil, are permitted. Now, another thing, V'antabachim Ne'amanu Geranosha, Divra Meir, Meir says the butchers are not trusted regarding the Geranosha, it's very difficult to remove it, one has to dig deeply into the flesh to pull out the entire gid, so you can't trust the butcher if he sells you the back leg and he tells you, don't worry, I took out the Gidon Nasha. Whereas Chamar and Lucham say, now Manam Alav, they are trusted regarding the Gidon Nasha, they took it out, and also Valachil regarding the fats. So the Gemara begins by asking on the first part of the Mishnah where it tells us the Gidon Nasha applies by Mugdashim. So the question is, Mugdashim, Pshita. It's obviously the Isra of Gidon Nasha applies by Mugdashim. Mishim the Akdashay, Pakale, Isra Ginmine, just because he was Makdash the animal, also now it doesn't have an Isra of Gidon Nasha. In other words, the Isra of Gidon Nasha applies when the animal is formed already. It only becomes Kudshim later on. So how do you think that now that he made this animal Kudshim, he says it's a carbon, all of a sudden there's no Isra of Gidon Nasha? What's the Mishnah teaching us? And Vachitim, we want to suggest that what's the Tana teaching us? That Yeshbi Gidim Runai Sein Tam, the Gidim as a whole, and over here obviously we're talking about the Gidon Nasha, it does impart flavor, which means it does have a taste. It's not just considered like rubbery string and that it doesn't have a taste. No, it is nice and tam. And also, Vasi Isra Mugdashim Chayal Isra Gid, that the Isra of Mugdashim is now going to come in Bichal. That's going to be tacked onto the Isra of Gid. In other words, maybe the Chilishim Mishnah is as follows, that one might think that ain't Isra Chayal Isra. We can't stack Isurim. And perhaps if one eats the Gidon Nasha of Kachim, he isn't Chayav for benefiting from Kachim. And therefore, the Chilish of the Tana would be twofold. First of all, the Gidon Nasha is nice and tam. It has flavor, and so it's no different than meat. And also, over here, we do say Isra Chayal Isra, namely the Isra of Kachim applies, but besides for the already existing Isra of Gidon Nasha. Therefore, if a person eats the Gidon Nasha of Kachim, he's going to be over two Isurim. That can be because Haimukdashim, Noig Begin Me by a light. The Mishnah should reverse its language. It should say that the Isra of Hektish is Noig in the Gid, because that's the way they were understanding. First, there's Isra of Gidon Nasha. Then, later, when he makes the animal Kachim, so now we can tack on the Isra of Kachim as well. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said the Gidon Nasha is Noig Bekachim. El Rathus, the Gemara suggests, Kasavar, what is the time to hold? Ain Begidim Noisintam. Gidim actually don't have flavor. And Mugdashin, Isra Gid Ika, Isra Mugdash Aleka. With Hektish animals, there's an Isra Gidon Nasha, but there is no Isra Mugdashin. In other words, the Tana is teaching us that even though Gidon Nasha has no flavor, so there's no Mugdashim Isra, meaning if a person eats a Gidon Nasha, he's not chayav for eating Kachim, nonetheless, there still is an Isra of Gidon Nasha. Says the Gemara, that can't be because Vesar Tani Don in Begidim Menoisin Tam, our Tana really holds that Gidim don't have flavor to them, so a person wouldn't be chayav for eating Kachim meat. But now we have a thigh of an animal that the Gidon Nasha was still inside and it was cooked together. So Im Yashba Menoisin Tam, Harezu Asura. If the Gid was large enough to impart flavor into the meat, so then the whole thing is asur. So we clearly see that the Gidon Nasha is benoisin tam. So more suggests we write Alahacha b'vlad is kachim askinon. Over here, what's the Tana referring to? The vlad, the fetus of kachim. V'kasavar noig b'shlil, and he holds that the Isra of Gidon Nasha applies even when the fetus is still in the mother's stomach. And v'kasavar he also holds vlad is kachim may imanhin kadoshin, that the fetus of an animal which is kachim becomes kadosh while it's still in its mother's stomach. And therefore, we'd say the Isra Gid v'Isra Mugdashin b'hadei dadikasi, that the Isra of Gid and the Isra of Hektish come at the same time. In other words, this new attempt at understanding the time for Mishnah is referring to the following case. Mother animal is consecrated as a shlamim and becomes pregnant. So the chiddush is, don't think that the fetus is kadosh and that the Isra Gid Hanasha only comes after birth, which would mean it can't apply because of anus or chal isr. Rather, Tana is teaching that two things happen simultaneously. The fetus becomes kadosh in the womb, and the Isra of Gid Hanasha also applies in the womb. Therefore, we could have these two isurim chal together. Ask the Gemara, how do you say that? We want to smoke mosul b'shlil. Could really say that the Tana and the Rishon in this beginning of the Mishnah is talking about a shlil, a fetus in the mother's stomach? What do you mean? From the fact that the seifa, the next part of the Mishnah tells us, the Gidon Nasha applies by the shlil, this word of the Mishnah, when we say mugdashin, that's not talking about the shlil, it's talking about an already born animal. So where it says, no, hachikamer, this is really what the Mishnah is saying. When it says, v'noig b'shlil, at the end of the Tanakhama statement, it's really teaching us that davar zeh machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. This is machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, because the very next line of the Mishnah is, the Rabbi Yehuda argues and says it's not noig b'shlil, so that's all we're emphasizing. In other words, when Tana says mugdashin, we're talking about a shlil, fetus that's inside the mother's stomach, and the reason why he repeats shlil at the end of the Tanakhama statement is just to emphasize that he argues with Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Gemara has another question on this. Are you really able to say that these two Yisurim are chal at the same time? Both Hektish and the Isra of Gidon Nasha applying the fetus at the same time? Can't be. But now we've mentioned it says, Al Eilu Tumas HaNazir Megaleach. Regarding these Tumas, a Nazir has to shave. This refers to a Nazir who we know is not allowed to drink wine. It's basically over here, is not allowed to become Tameh. And if he does become Tameh, that undoes all the days of Nazirus that he kept. He has to go through a whole entire process at the end, which he's Megaleach. He shaves and he restarts his Nazirus. So regarding what Tumas does he have to restart? Al Hameis Val Kazais Ben Hameis. Regarding a mace and Kizais from a mace. Now, Bakashalon, we asked, Al Kazais Ben Hameis Megaleach, Al Kula Kol Shekain, if he has to restart his Nazirus process because he became Tameh from a Kizais from a mace. So for sure, if it was from a whole mace, he would have to restart his process. Why does the Mishnah tell us mace itself? What's the Chiddush? And the answer is, Rabbi Yochanan, he clarifies, Ula Nitzcho, it's referring to the following, El Lenefel Shaloi Nikshu Evar Begidin. It's talking about a Nefel, a miscarried fetus that wasn't developed yet, that it's a varim, its limbs were not connected with the Gidim. In other words, the limbs of this Nefel are fully formed. They do not even have a Kizais of flesh on them, though, so that can't be the source of Toma. And there aren't Gidim here either, which connect the limbs. And that's the Chiddush of that Mishnah by Nazir, that since we have a fully formed fetus, even though, again, it doesn't have Gidim, it's still Metame. Now, Tani Amrav on top, what do we learn from here? Alma, we see Isra Mugdashin Kadim, that the Isra of Kachim Elohim comes first. In other words, from the fact that this human nafel is metame like a regular mace, we apply this to an animal that at the moment a fetus is formed inside the kadshim mother, that fetus itself is already considered kadshim, but Gid HaNashe isn't chal yet because it doesn't have gidim yet. So how can you say that the animal became kadshim and had an isr of Gid HaNashe at the very same time? So Gemara says, you're right, Afagav the isr mikdashin kadim, even though it became asr's kadshim first, asi isr gid, chayel alayhu, still the isr of gid could come afterwards and be tacked on. Why is that? Shekein yisuri noig b'nei noyach, because it's isr, meaning the isr of Gid HaNashe applied by b'nei noyach. What does it mean, b'nei noyach? So before we officially became Am Yisrael by Kabbalah Satorah, we are called b'nei noyach beforehand. And since we clarified at the beginning of the parak that this isr of Gid HaNashe already applied even before Matan Torah, so we see it's a very chomer isr, which again the Gemara is calling that it applies by b'nei noyach. And therefore you're right, even though it's not happening simultaneously with kadshim, it's still able to be tacked on. Asking Gemara, how could you say that? Man shamas lei hai svara, who holds this svara that Gid HaNashe is very chomer because it applied to b'nei noyach? Rabbi Yehuda, that was Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav Hamas Nissen like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the first part of the Mishnah. Dictani, because what did the Mishnah say? Noig b'behemu b'chaya, b'yarech shal yamin b'yarech shal smol. Gid HaNashe is both in the right and left thigh, and we know, as we're going to see later on, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the isr of Gid HaNashe is only one of the thighs, not in both of them. So how could you say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? The more answer is no problem. Hai tana sover l'kavasi b'chadu palagale b'chada. The Tana at the beginning of our Mishnah, the Tana Kama, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one, but he argues with him in another. He holds like him in regards to Gid HaNashe being a very chamer isr, and therefore could be applied even after the isr of kadshim. But he argues with Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds that Gid HaNashe applies in both thighs, not just in one of them. We still have a problem. Aim of the Shamas Leather Rabbi Yehuda, Bitmeya, the Isser Lav. Rabbi Yehuda only says that this Isser of Gid HaNashe is super chomer and therefore could be applied even after the Isser of Kachim. That's specifically by a Tmeya, by a non kosher animal, because that's just an Isser Lav. In other words, we have a non kosher animal, there's an Isser Lav to eat it, and since Gid HaNashe is chomer because of the Ben Noach aspect, so it could be added on afterwards. But Kachim, the Isser Kares, Mishamas Le, Kachim that has a potential Isser Kares. For example, Pigol, Nicer, if one eats Kachim, one eats Tame, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't apply Gid HaNashe because maybe it's not chomer enough that it can be applied to kadshim. So we're back to square one. What is the chiddush of the Tana of the Mishnah when he tells us that Gid HaNashe applies to Mugdashin? The answer is El Hachum Vakeres Askinon Demerechem Kadosh. Over here we're talking about an animal which is giving birth to its first baby. It's Mvakeres. That's going to be a Bechar. That becomes Kadosh in the Rechem. In other words, really Gid HaNashe does not apply by regular kadshim. Only with Bechar it does. Why is that? Well, because a Bechar attains its Kedusha only when it emerges from the mother. Therefore, it's a Miman of Shach. Either Gid HaNashe applies even with the fetus inside the mother. The Gemara called it Noig Beshlil, which means the Isra of Gid HaNashe came before the Kedusha of Bechar. Or the other side would be that it doesn't apply with a fetus, meaning it's not Noig Beshlil, and it comes together with Kedusha's Bechar, namely when the animal is born. And that's what Tanakh Mishnah could be referring to, namely that when he says Mikdashin, it's only referring to a Bechar. Vibas and Tomer of Liq would say they're really referring to all Vladis Kachim, all children that are born to Kachim animals, and still the way we could say that Gid HaNashe applies is because Vladis Kachim, Bavyasanin Kedashim, the children of Kachim, when a Kaidish animal gives birth, its child only becomes Kaidish Behavyasai, when it's born, when it comes into being, and then the Chiyuv Gid HaNashe would also come simultaneously with that birth. And so this understanding, the Tana of Mishnah will be talking about all Mugdashin that have babies, so that baby has a lot of Gid HaNashe. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.